Inserted into the bulletin this evening is the song, Facing a Task Unfinished. This is the hymn for your mission emphasis week. So we'll be standing to singing the four stanzas. Please note that the chorus is on the back side as well. Let's stand to sing. We turn in God's Word this evening to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Gospel of John, chapter 14. While you're turning to that, let me just say thank you to you as a congregation. It is this congregation that years and years ago in a gymnasium of Hudsonville Christian Junior High gave me the opportunity to, I guess we would say, exhort the word for the very first time as an elder in the congregation. Although there are some of you who are sitting here who were students of mine, and you said, come on, Mr. Van Manen, and you preached every day in class. Well, that's probably true, okay, in that regard. But thank you for that. When I took the call at Little Farm some 29, almost 30 years ago now, this congregation was very faithful in supporting that small congregation. And so I return to you again that thanksgiving and for the blessing that you were for my own life personally and for the life of our congregation. We hear then God's word as he breathes it out to us this evening. John 14. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak of my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Thus far the reading of God's word to us tonight. 3 points, as the bulletin indicates this evening. First of all, the necessity of Jesus' name. Secondly, the basis of using Jesus' name. And thirdly, the promise of using Jesus' name. You might say, it's kind of a strange passage, Pastor, to select for a mission emphasis. And perhaps at first glance it is, but if you stop to think about it, it really isn't. In our own history, in the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, we came out of the PCUSA. And one of the reasons for the separation, one of the reasons why J. Gresham Machen started his own foreign mission board and started Westminster Seminary, was because of this very issue, as it affected missions. That the church at that time was going out not in the name of Jesus. And it was going out to be a bunch of do-gooders. It was more concerned about Americanizing people than it was about bringing the name of Jesus. And in this passage, Jesus reminds us on several levels that it is through him and through him alone that salvation is to come. This is to be our first priority in the work of missions. It is never an add-on. It's never we're going to go and repair somebody's roof. Oh, and maybe we'll tell them the gospel. We're going to go out and help somebody with their flooded out basement because of a hurricane. Oh, and maybe we'll get around to having devotions at noon. Now, those things are important. Don't get me wrong. But that which is of primary importance is the name of Jesus. Because, you see, I've been on enough mission trips to know what can often happen. We get in so invested in the work that we're doing that we forget about the reason we are doing it. And you can be on the plane on the way home and you can be thinking, oh, I was going to talk to that person about Jesus and I didn't do it. Oh, I was going to tell them about Jesus, but I didn't do it. My guess is that doesn't only happen on mission trips. There probably have been more than one occasion in your life when you've had the sad reality of going to a funeral and thinking, you know, I was always going to tell them about Jesus, and I didn't. This is of primary importance for the work of missions. In Jesus' name. Perhaps even more so because we live in a day and age and in a culture of all of this multicultural religion in which everybody thinks as long as you serve something, you're okay. As long as you're just spiritual, not biblically spiritual, but as long as you're spiritual, you're okay. Some of you may have read a same article I did in this past week. An article that stated that at a particular seminary, they decided that it was permissible to pray for forgiveness from your plants. Now think about that. That there was something therapeutic, something good about praying to your plants for the forgiveness of your sins. This being taught. What do you suppose that next generation is going to be doing? We're not going to be much different than the Amorites, Canaanites, Hivites, and Perizzites of our day and age. In fact, we're already there. Your neighbors see that you leave, but they don't know where you're going anymore. 50 years ago, it could be assumed you were getting in your car and going to church on a Sunday morning. That is not the assumption your neighbors and the people in your community are making anymore. They may be thinking you're going off to the Hindu temple or to the Buddhist temple. They may be thinking you're going off to some spiritual awakening type conference. They don't know. I don't understand that anymore. We live in a society in which in Jesus' name has become absolutely crucial for the church to go out and to minister. Listen to this necessity. Jesus, John chapter 14, verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus, verse 13 and 14. Whatever you ask in my name, this will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Turn over if you have your scriptures still open to chapter 16. Go down to verses 23 and 24. In that day, you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. In my name, in the name of Jesus Christ alone. He himself is underscoring it. This is Jesus' instruction, that in terms of salvation, it is Jesus Christ alone. In terms of that which we ask, it is in Jesus Christ alone. There are no exceptions to that. None. There are no other ways of salvation. There are no other priests. There is no one else to pray to. There is no other name to bring to people than the name of Jesus. There's no other saint by which we go. We don't go to St. Michael, St. Francis, St. Patrick, St. Christopher, St. Jude, or any one of the other 10,000 saints. See, here's where Pastor Bob often gets in trouble by saying these things. Do not think for a moment, my friend, that your Catholic neighbor does not need Christ. They're seeking to go through the Father, through everybody but Christ. That's their doctrine. That's what they believe. What did Jesus say? No, only me. Only me. See, we don't just have mission work in India. You have a mission work right next door to you. You probably have mission work that you are related to. In Jesus' name. And going to that neighbor who perhaps is Catholic, or maybe they're Muslim in our society today, bemoaning the fact, oh, man, I was always going to talk to them about Jesus. Well, it's a little late then, isn't it? See, this is what the hymn we just sang is all about. That's why Jesus is so frustrated with the disciples here. You guys still don't get it? You've been with me how long? You've seen what I've done. You know my grace. You know my love. You know my mercy. And you still don't get the fact that you need to go to people and to tell them Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And there is no other way. Of course, that doesn't mean we become mean-spirited. It doesn't mean we do not come with compassion. We do not come with tenderness and humility. This isn't about beating them down, but it is about confronting them with the truth that Jesus has given to us. That the mission work of the church, that the mission work of your knees, is in Jesus Christ alone. That takes us, secondly, to the basis. I'm going to take you to a number of passages, so hopefully you can follow along. I invite you to turn, first of all, to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. See, because let me preface this by saying, if you're sitting next to a person who is in a secular university, this is not what they're hearing. All right? This is the stuff that's forbidden to be said. And far too often, even in our secular universities, far too often in our school system today, this is what is missing. This is what is neglected. Everybody will get there. Everybody will arrive. quit being so narrow-minded. How narrow-minded of you to think that there is only one way of salvation. Now, some of you as students have sat there, you've cringed. You're like, you want to shoot your hand up. Maybe you have from time to time. Maybe you've tried to counter what that professor is lecturing about. And it's just fallen flat. And you're like, am I really right? Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Let me encourage you in that. And let me encourage you not with my words. Let me encourage you with the word of God. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. There is one mediator, not many, not multiple. There is only one God, and the only way to that Father, as Jesus himself said, is through the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. The basis for using Jesus' name is because he is the only mediator. Still got your scriptures open? Turn to Hebrews. Book of Hebrews, chapter 4. Verses 14 and 15. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are. Then this added phrase, yet without sin. Why is Jesus the only mediator? Why is Jesus the only way? Because he and he alone is the God-man without sin. That is not true of Saint Francis of Assisi. That is not true of St. Christopher. That's not even true of Mary, is it? Christ Jesus alone is the sinless mediator. That's why it's in his name. That's why salvation is in his name. That's why the work of missions is in his name. That's why the work of missions that's done on our knees is in his name. He's not the only mediator. He's not only the only mediator, I should phrase it that way. He is also the perfect mediator. But get this, go forward to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews 7. Doesn't it make you wonder sometimes how a dead guy can be of any effect for you? Right? I mean, you're struggling with life. Let me just use. Where's St. Francis? He's in a grave somewhere bodily. What good is he to you? What help is he? Where's Mary? She's in a grave somewhere. Bodily, correct? That's where they are. Only their soul is with the Lord. But bodily, they're in the ground. I think I'd prefer a mediator who is alive fully, completely. Who not only in his divinity is before the Father, but also in his humanity is before the Father. What greater mediator could there be? Why would I want something less? Why would I accept something less than the best and the only that God provides. Hebrews chapter 7, 24 and 25. But he holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. What is the hope that the book author of Hebrews is giving to me in my salvation? That Christ is living. And Christ is always interceding for me. Always. He doesn't just intercede once. He is always interceding because he is always living, because his priesthood is forever. He is the one mediator, the only mediator, the perfect mediator, the living mediator. Fourthly, he is also the loving mediator. Listen to Paul in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me. And we sang a hymn this morning. You've sung it as well because you have the Trinity hymnal at the Allberg's grandchild baptism. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Where does the Bible tell me so? Galatians 2:20. He loved me. The only mediator, the only name by which we can be saved, the one who is living, the one who is perfect, the one who is the way, the truth, and the life, loves me. And he gave his life for me. The work of missions begins with that basis. Who wrote Galatians 2:20? Paul. What is Paul known for in the New Testament? As the missionary. Where does missions begin? With an understanding that there is but one name, that there is but one mediator, and that mediator loved me enough to die for me. Amazing love. How can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? I may fix somebody's roof. I may clean out their house. I may bring them a cup of cold water. But missions begins with, let me tell you about the mediator who loved me enough to die for me. And now in his name, let me fix your roof. For his glory, let me tear out this moldy carpet. In his name, I'm going to get on my knees tonight and pray for the work of missions that Cornerstone supports. in his name. Because he loved me. He gave his life for me. But that passage that we read at the beginning of John chapter 14 included a promise, did it not? It's a promise that was repeated later. If you pray in my name, if you pray in my name, there's a promise given. Let's go back to that. John chapter 14. If you ask, it's verse 14, if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Or go back to, let's go to John chapter 17. Listen to how Jesus states it here. John 17, verse 6. I have manifested your name in the people who you gave me out of the world. Yours they are, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you. For I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you. And they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you, Holy Father. Keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I am glorified in them. I'll let you pray. What does Jesus mean by that promise? Well, first of all, it's a promise for the elect. That's what John 17 is explaining. It's explaining that those who are Christ, first of all, are the recipients of this great promise. Secondly, it's by Christ's merits. It's by Christ's work. Christ is the one who died for us. But we are clothed in his righteousness. That's why Jesus could say, they glorify. See, we never should think too much of ourselves, but we need to also be careful we do not think too little of ourselves. See, how often isn't it that we refrain from the work of missions? We refrain from the call of God to go. Oh, not necessarily as a church, but as individuals. Well, I can't do that. I can't do that. And we belittle ourselves. Here we are, clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Clothed in his power. Clothed with this promise. I am glorified in them. All will be given. What's the all? Is that some blanket statement that whatever I ask in Jesus' name, is it some sort of magical incantation? If I use those words, then I get it? Well, we certainly don't ever want our children to think that praying in Jesus' name is some sort of magical formulation. When we pray in Jesus' name, we do indeed receive all that we ask. But you see, when we pray in Jesus' name, then we're praying for his glory. That's what he's saying. When you pray in my name, you're praying for his glory. All that you ask, I'll give it. I'll never turn down that request. When you pray in my name, It's not a, well, you know, I was at, you know, my husband's bedside and he had cancer and I prayed in Jesus' name, heal him, and it didn't happen. No, but you prayed in Jesus' name. Christ was glorified, even in that death. See, this is what we fail to comprehend. We fail to take into view the fact that when we pray in Jesus' name, it is Him who is glorified. It's not our needs, wants, parentheses, that are being met. It is Christ's glory that is being met. In His name. Oh, the promise that He gives to us as His people. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Why? Because in that He is glorified. That His word never returns unto Him void. Why? Because in that He is glorified. It is about the glory of the mediator. Not about my comfort in this world. It's about learning, as Paul says, to be content in whatever state I am in. Why? Because therein is Christ glorified. Because I have a mediator. I have one who is the way, the truth, and the life. I have one that the Father in His grace has opened up my heart to. It's not my life. It's all about Christ and His glory. And someday, no more selfish Bob. Someday, no more my way. Someday, no more my agenda. Someday, only His glory. And the work of the church is to go into this world that He might be glorified. And all God's people say, amen. Father, we thank You for Your living, breathing word. How grateful and thankful we are that Your Spirit has opened our hearts and has awakened us to this glorious truth, that Jesus Christ is the only mediator. Father, as we leave this place, we are reminded each time that we now enter a mission field, and that we do. Father, in this week, may we be more committed to doing so in Jesus' name, for His glory, for His honor, and for His praise. For our only hope is in Christ alone. In His name we pray, God's people again say, amen.